Good morning, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Palestine, a weekly half-hour segment of news from Palestine and discussion of issues relevant to the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's brutal military occupation and colonization of their homeland. This program presents news and analysis from the Palestinian perspective, a perspective we do not get from the mainstream media. We ask our listeners, were you involved last week in the Palestine-Israel peace movement and the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's illegal military occupation and colonization of their homeland? Did you speak out on the atrocities Israel is committing every day in Gaza and the West Bank? If not, why not? There are many ways to get involved. Here are some examples. One, you could join the Boston Coalition for Palestinian Rights by calling 617-491-2313. Two, you could join the Middle East Crisis Coalition by writing to crisismiddleeast@yahoo.com. Three, you could join the Israel-Palestine Task Force of United for Justice with Peace by writing to ujpiptaskforce@yahoo.com. Four, if you are Jewish and prefer to join a Jewish group, there is the Boston chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace, which you can contact either by calling 617-984-0532 or by visiting its website at www.vopj.org. Five, you could go to Palestine and help with the olive harvest or help Palestinians live their daily lives under occupation by contacting the group Boston to Palestine at its website, bostontopalestine.org. Six, you could work with the International Women's Peace Service in Palestine by applying to www.iwps-pal.org. Seven, you could go to Palestine under the Birthright Unplugged program, or eight, under the Needle in the Groove program by applying respectively at birthrightunplugged.org and needleinthegroove.org. Nine, you could join Bethlehem Sirar Center's Palestinian Summer Celebration 2007 program. To register for the program or get more information, please visit the website sirarcenter.org/courses.htm. And 10, if you live in Cambridge, you can join a delegation of Cambridge residents who are planning to go to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is being strangled by Israel's illegal wall. It is completely isolated and is desperate for help to reopen the city once again to the outside world. For more information or to join the delegation, please write to bethlehemcambridge@gmail.com. It is Sunday, August 5th, 2007. Here is a summary of the news highlights for the week. In international news, United States Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice visited Israel and Palestine. In Palestine, she met with President Mahmoud Abbas and his emergency Fatah cabinet. At a news conference in Ramallah with Mr. Abbas, Ms. Rice stated that Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert was ready to meet to talk about key points leading to the establishment of a Palestinian state. She said, "He looks forward to continued discussions with you, and he is ready to discuss the fundamental issues that will lead to negotiations soon for the creation of a Palestinian state. And the United States wants to support that bilateral track," unquote. Translated, the doublespeak means, Mr. Olmert will discuss fundamental issues but will not negotiate them with you. The plan then is to have just a fireside chat between friends about fundamental issues and agree on principles of future negotiations. Thus, more delay, avoid getting real. And Mr. Abbas fell right in line with the script written for him, stating that he was ready to work with Israel on a declaration of principles as a step toward a full peace agreement. The Israeli-Palestinian talks would, he said, quote, focus on implementing what was mentioned in the roadmap, end of quote, referring to the comatose international peace plan. On Wednesday, Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni said Israel would not miss the chance to, quote, promote a dialogue, unquote, with Mr. Abbas. But, Ms. Livni suggested, Israel was not yet ready to negotiate on issues such as the status of Jerusalem, the right of Palestinian refugees to return, and future borders with any Palestinian state. Sometimes, she said, it is not wise to put the most sensitive issues first. It is unwise to talk about the major issues that have divided the parties for 60 years. Just sweep them under the carpet. Also on Wednesday, the BBC reported that Saudi Arabia voiced its support for and was keen to attend America's vacuous regional peace conference, which, you may recall, on July 17th, White House spokesman Tony Snow described as, quote, a meeting to sit down and try to find ways of building fundamental and critical institutions for the Palestinians, end of quote. And on Thursday, the BBC reported that Secretary Rice had signed an agreement giving the Palestinian Authority $80 million to manifestly reform their security services. Also on Thursday, the influential Israeli newspaper Haaretz published an article entitled PlayStation Palestine by Haaretz journalist Aluf Ben, in which he said that Israel's initiatives and plans are based on an imaginary reality and on establishing a make-believe Palestinian state, a PlayStation Palestine. The basic assumption, Aluf Ben went on, is that President Abbas and Prime Minister Fayyad are too weak and will not be able to impose security and order in the West Bank. Or, as a senior Israeli official put it, they're pleasant and moderate but hold pens, not guns, in their hands. Mr. Ben proposed a way to translate good intentions into real changes when he said, remove some of the restrictions on Palestinian freedom of movement in the West Bank. No aspect of the occupation is more cruel and painful, and there is no greater obstacle to reviving the Palestinian economy and improving everyday life. What is the point, he asked, of suggesting meetings of businessmen from both sides, as Blair did, when West Bank roads are blocked? Mr. Ben arrived at the conclusion that the Israeli partner is also weak, and in the absence of a leadership that can force its policy on the operative level, the peace process will continue to be conducted like a virtual exercise in diplomatic conferences and dinners. But that is precisely the point, isn't it? What we have here in a nutshell is the following. President Abbas and Prime Minister Fayyad are perceived to be too weak to provide security and order without the help of Hamas. Number two, Hamas cannot reasonably be a partner or guarantor of security and order if it is not a partner in government. But three, Hamas is to be cast out of the government to ensure that the current and all future Fatah-led governments are kept permanently weak and therefore unable to engage in meaningful negotiations on fundamental issues. Four, the siege of Gaza and the withdrawal of funding for aid to refugees will continue. And five, Prime Minister Olmert's government is too weak to deliver any meaningful relief from the immobilization of the Palestinian people and the corollary destruction of the Palestinian economy. The inescapable conclusion is that all we now see and all we are likely to see in the foreseeable future are exercises to maintain the status quo while indulging in empty, deceitful representations of seeking a peace. It is true that in the Mecca Agreement, Hamas legally ceded to Fatah the sole power to negotiate for Palestinians, subject to a popular referendum and ratification by the Palestinian Legislative Council, in which Hamas legally holds the majority of seats. The Mecca Agreement, therefore, gives legal cover to Fatah. Other than that, however, it carries little weight, because real negotiations cannot proceed without the support of Hamas, to guarantee security and order, and the plan is to discard Hamas from the government. In addition, even if Hamas were to hold the minority of seats in the PLC of a future Fatah-led government, it is not likely to ratify a vacuous agreement which does not address the major issues, which in turn Israel will not discuss while Hamas is any kind of partner in the Palestinian government. The catch-22 is perfect. The only way out of this trap is to form and sell to the international community a solid Palestinian coalition government of national unity, which will give Palestine the stability, cohesion, and strength to negotiate as a nation across all tribal and political entities. Other international news items which caught our attention this week were reports that the United States is planning a huge arms deal to Saudi Arabia. To counter objections by Israel and its supporters in Congress, officials said that the Jewish state would be offered significantly increased military aid. The proposed deal for Saudi Arabia is for $20 billion over 10 years and reportedly includes air-to-air missiles, advanced precision-guided bombs, upgrades to its fighters and new naval vessels. The increased military aid to Israel is for $30 billion over 10 years, and that is in addition to the $2.5 to $3.75 billion a year it currently receives. Israel will also get advanced weaponry in addition to a new generation of advanced F-35 jet fighters. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates accompanied Secretary Rice to Saudi Arabia this week to discuss the arms deal with Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Saud Al Faisal. There is one item not covered by the mainstream or alternative media which appears to offer a faint glimmer of hope in this dismal landscape. According to a recent report by the Israel Policy Forum, quote, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is clearly determined to achieve a major agreement on Israel-Palestine before she leaves office. The report goes on to say that the Saudis are not interested in attending a conference about the number of illegal outposts Israel will again agree to dismantle, and the latest measures the Palestinians will claim to be employing to defeat tunnel smugglers. For Saudi Arabia to attend, the conference has to be the real deal. Saudi officials say that the four major final status issues must be on the table. These are the borders of a Palestinian state, the status of Jerusalem, settlements, and refugees. Saudi Arabia's Foreign Minister, Prince Saud Al Faisal, said on Wednesday, "We are interested in a peace conference that deals with the substance of peace, not just the form." Would that were so. In news from the ground, according to the most recent weekly report published on Wednesday, August 1st, by the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, covering the week July 26th to August 1st, Israel conducted 26 incursions into Palestinian communities in Gaza and the West Bank, killed 20 Palestinians, including three Palestinians extrajudicially executed, and one 19-year-old young man beaten to death at a checkpoint near Bethlehem. Injured 10 civilians, including one woman, arrested 20 Palestinians, 18 in the West Bank and 2 in Gaza, raided Al-Zuhr kindergarten and desecrated the Islamic center in Dura near the city of El-Khalil, known as Hebron in this country, destroying graves and exposing buried bodies, and razed 40 acres of agricultural land in the village of El-Fukhari in Gaza. Also on Wednesday, hundreds of Israeli settlers occupied buildings illegally erected on land belonging to the Palestinian village of Bil'ain, despite an order from the Israeli Supreme Court forbidding them to do so. And on Thursday, a researcher at the International Coalition for Human Rights reported that Israel has kidnapped 170 Palestinian civilians over the last 12 days after it released 250 prisoners as a so-called goodwill gesture. On the same day, Israeli soldiers kidnapped another 14 residents from the Al-Maghazi refugee camp in central Gaza, and several others in Beit Lahia in northern Gaza, where they were farming their lands. All told, quite a record for a country seeking peace. It is now our time for our featured guest, and we are very fortunate to have two guests with us today. Ben graduated in economics and sociology and received a master's degree in sociology with majors in political economy, social inequality, and sociology of gender. Ben joined the adjunct faculty at Emerson College in Boston, where he taught courses in community and race relations, gender in global perspective, and the sociology of everyday life. He also served as title promoter and copy editing assistant at the South End Press, where he assisted in the editing of the book Live from Palestine, released in the summer of 2003, and conducted market research for the title Ideas for Action. In 2001, he joined the Colorado Campaign for Middle East Peace in Denver, Colorado. He planned educational events and protests, edited and published press releases and educational material, and promoted change in U.S. Mideast policy. In April of 2002, Ben founded the Boston-based group Boston to Palestine, which sends volunteers to Palestine to assist in the olive harvest and help Palestinians lead their daily lives under Israel's illegal and brutal military occupation. Over the years, Ben spent many months during four visits to Palestine. He's there now as part of a delegation which went to help the children of Palestine's refugee camps express themselves and their experiences using digital audio-visual equipment. We now connect with him and with Ra'id Ya'qub. Ra'id Ya'qub is a Palestinian who was raised in the Qalandia refugee camp in Ramallah, in the West Bank. After spending 1 year in Cambridge, he returned to Palestine. Ra'id's interest is in technology, learning, and community development. He has been awarded the Hubert Humphrey Fellowship for 2006-2007 at MIT. Using his background in computer science and through his research at MIT, he's working on projects that enable youth to develop necessary work and life skills by experimenting with creative expression using technology. He was awarded the MIT Media Lab Ideas Institute Fellowship in 2005. Prior to MIT, Ra'id was the Ramallah Intel Computer Clubhouse Coordinator in Palestine for about 4 years. Ra'id and Ben join us now from Palestine. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ra'id. Good afternoon, rather. It's good to have you both. Thank you for being our guest today. Ben, what can you tell us about the work you are doing in Palestine now? And Ra'id, please feel free to chip in when you can.
I'm going to actually pass a lot of these questions on to Ra'id, but right now we're working on this project called Voices Beyond Walls, and the idea is to teach film to young children so that they can express whatever they want to express through film. So right now we're actually talking to you here from the Computer Clubhouse. It's a building in Ramallah, and Ra'id actually helped found this organization a few years ago, so it's been a real resource to have him with us. This was the first day of this workshop, and we've been holding them in refugee camps, in Ida Camp in Bethlehem, and there's also one going on in Jenin Camp. We had one in Balata Camp just before this. So I think maybe I'll pass over the next question to Ra'id, but that's basically what we're doing here, if that's clear enough. Okay? Yeah,
sure. Ra'id, could you share with us some of the work that you're doing, the workshops that you're having with the children?
Yeah, Sheikh. We are running a workshop here, as Ben told you, in Ramallah. And we are now running a workshop with a nice collaboration between different youth centers in Ramallah from the surrounding refugees camp. So the workshop has been mentioned hosted in the Computer Clubhouse, and there's kids coming from Qalandia refugee camp, Al Amari, and the Mushrayat area, which is around Ramallah.
What is the range of ages of the children you are working with?
We are targeting the kids, boys and girls, from 10 to between the age of 10 and 16 years old.
How are they reacting to the workshops? Are they enthusiastic? Do they feel that they can express themselves?
Yeah, actually, they are so excited for participating in this workshop. And even the idea, there is more youth and kids that wanted to participate even, and the problem is that we having limited capacity. So there are so many kids wanted to participate, and the youth that working with right now are so engaged to the project, and today they start talking about they start talking about their stories, and I think we're gonna have in Ramallah here a nice project at the end, nice stories as well.
How many projects do you have?
A budget?
No, how many projects do you have? You said you were expecting to get nine.
I can't hear you.
How many projects do you have?
For a project, we are having here six groups, so we are expecting six projects at the end.
Six projects.
Final video project, yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes, each of the groups will just make it. Yeah, each of the groups one is expected to produce and to have a project and to work on a single project.
Great. Have you noticed anything between age groups? If is there any common theme? Let's say, do the younger children want to express a different
feelings than the older children?
Actually, I think that most of the kids and the youth here, or the theme that they are discussing and talking about and sharing is about the occupation, and they're trying to reflect their experience here and how they live, how they spend the daily life here. So I think that occupation is a common theme here between the kids, the different ages here, between the even 10 to 16.
Oh, that's certainly understandable, seeing that the occupation is such a huge part of their lives. Will those videos be shown here in Boston when you return?
I think they will be shown in Boston. Yes, for sure. Yeah.
And hopefully at the Palestinian Film Festival. I think there is a film festival, in Boston in the fall, this coming fall.
Yeah, I think yes, that's right. In the coming fall. Unfortunately, I won't be there to see the film. I think I'll just help making the films right here in Palestine, the West Bank.
I see. So you will not be returning. Raed, and Ben, both, if you would, Raed, you're a Palestinian and have led most of your life in Palestine. Ben, you have been to Palestine many times. What can you share with us about the differences you noticed over the years?
The differences between the youth in the U.S. and here in the West Bank, you mean?
No, the differences in the situation in the West Bank and Gaza, if you've been there over the years, it's gotten worse, it's gotten better, people are... What can you share with us?
Actually, we haven't been in Gaza yet, but the situation in Gaza is more difficult than here in the West Bank. In Ramallah here, even in the West Bank, I think it differs from a place to a place. In Ramallah, it is more stable than in Jenin or Balata. I think there is more difficult. The situation there is more difficult than what's happening here in Ramallah. In terms of the West Bank and Gaza, I think the West Bank, the Gaza Strip right now, the situation there is really more difficult than the West Bank.
Hey, so Nablus, the situation in Nablus is worse than in Ramallah, and in Jenin.
Yes, So if you go to the north, to the Nablus, to Jenin, to Balata, and the camps there, I think they are suffering. They're facing almost an everyday intrusion for the soldiers there, and the situation there is really more difficult than here in Ramallah.
What else can you tell us about the children and their reaction, their ability to work with you, their interactions with each other and with the facilitators?
We have a wonderful group of facilitators and volunteers here in Ramallah, the same thing as we have in Aida camp and in Balata in the previous workshops, and the facilitators here is really so engaged and so mature, and they are also making a good link between the kids and the youth and the international volunteers. So I'm thinking everybody here is doing a great work, and inshallah we're also expecting to have a great story at the end.
Yes, and hopefully the children will be able to continue this program of expressing their themselves, their emotions, their feelings, and continue to do so even after the delegates leave. Hopefully this will continue.
Yeah. Of course, the sustainability of this project is also one of our major concerns here. We are working on it, trying to make it to work with youth centers here who can really duplicate and sustain this kind of project. So hopefully in the future we really will build upon these workshops, so we can even expand this workshop, not just in Ramallah and to the center that we are targeting right now, but also to other youth centers in other refugee camps and other youth centers here in the West Bank that we didn't have a chance to visit them or to work with them.
Yeah. Raed, as a Palestinian, what would you like to tell Americans? Would you have a message that you want to relay to the American public?
To have a message, my message would be that to be for the Palestinian youth and children that they are just children like any other children all over the world. They have their own hopes, they have their own dreams, schools, mosques, churches. They are living their normal life. So the idea the message that the person, sorry, it's just a little bit noisy here. That they wish for the kids that really have a normal life like any other kids all over the world. And we're trying to contribute this goal through our workshops here and through the work that we do for the youth here in the West Bank.
Well, thank you very much, Raed. Thank you, Ben, for being our guests today.
Okay, thank you, Sheriff.
It was a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Much. You have been listening to Raed, Yaqub, and Ben. Raed is a Palestinian who was raised in Qalandia refugee camp. And Ben is a teacher and political activist, long-time activist and founder of Boston to Palestine, who has committed his adult life to the pursuit of justice and human rights for all. And that is all we have for today. We wish our listeners a pleasant and restful weekend and look forward to having you with us next week, same time. Until then, this is Sharif Fahm signing off for now and reminding our listeners to get involved now in the Israel-Palestine peace movement. Thank you.